From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This portion of the show is sponsored by Clemens Painting. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did, and I couldn't be happier. So call Scott today at 781-710-0076. I'll repeat that number because I kind of tripped over it. 781-710-0076. Or visit Clemens Painting on Facebook. Little housekeeping. If you missed part of the show, you're going to want to hop on over to my iTunes page and listen there. Love it if you would leave a review. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. You can follow me on the Francesca Luca show page on Facebook. And of course, if you know someone who the show would resonate with, I would love it if you would please share it with them. So we're going to rock and roll. We've got a lot to cover in a very short period of time. You better put on your seatbelt because we're going deep. All right, here we go. What the hell is up with non-monogamous relationships? Welcome to the very first episode of What the Hell, my new monthly segment where I dive deeper into life's most interesting and often controversial questions, cutting out the crap and getting to the heart of the real answers. And my first guest on the What the Hell segment is Dr. Edward Fernandez, aka Dr. Ziggy, and that is how I'm going to refer to him or address him during the show. He is a social psychologist and sexologist. Sexologist, it sounds like mixology or something, like cocktails, who's made a career out of researching and working with people who embrace these alternative lifestyles. If you've ever found yourself confused about terms like open relationships, polyamory, and swinging, you're probably not alone. Dr. Ziggy will help us learn more about the history, the evolution, and growing acceptance, if you can imagine, of non-monogamy, and why it can actually increase trust and transparency in relationships. Now, a full disclosure here, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm no opinion here. I'm just delivering the content. I bet you know at least one person who would find this topic fascinating, if not more. So I hope you'll pass it along. And again, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Dr. Ziggy, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
You're quite welcome.
So we back way back when, about, like you said, 10 years ago, spoke and we discussed polyamorous relationships. I think we even discussed swinging again also at that time, but that was a long time ago. So this is certainly one of the most controversial and provocative topics I've ever talked about on this station. How did you develop a fascination with consensual non-monogamy? Was there some experience or a moment that inspired you to make this research your career?
Yes, you can blame Geraldo Rivera in the early 80s when he announced that Plato's Retreat in New York had closed because of AIDS, which he did, and he basically suggested that swinging was dead, that people weren't going to swing anymore because everybody was actually afraid of catching AIDS. And that sparked my interest because I had known people that were involved in swinging in the 70s, and I know that there was a lifestyle that was becoming quite popular, and I thought, is he really right? So I decided to research it. I remember I was in grad school at the time, and I approached the dean of the department, and I told him, I says, well, I'd like to do a project on swinging. And he looked at me and said, basically, wait until you get your PhD, and then you can do whatever the hell you want. And basically, I said, okay, sure. So I waited until I got my PhD, and actually my PhD dissertation was based on the swinging paradigm. And that's how it all started. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So you're a swinger, I take it, or should I not assume such a thing?
I've dabbled, but, you know, there's something that I always try to make quite clear whenever I'm presenting anywhere. What I do in my private life may not necessarily reflect in my professional life, and that my approach to my professional life has to be separate from my private life. Mm-hmm. And that's essential. I mean, in science, basically, that's what we do, right?
Right.
We try to separate ourselves from the subject that we are studying. It was interesting because I was at a conference quite a few years ago in Texas, actually, and somebody asked me that question. And my response, which is the response I'm going to give you right now, was basically this. So, if I was researching gorillas, would I have to be a gorilla? And basically shut that person up pretty quick.
All right, I get it. He's not going to tell us, listeners. All right, but I'll tell you what. Your media picture certainly looked like you didn't have any clothes on.
I actually probably didn't. I'm also a nudist, which basically has nothing to do with swinging.
Yeah.
But, okay. And if I'd like to make a clarification, if I may,
yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Polyamory is not swinging.
No,
and swinging is not polyamory. These are two completely different things, and they tend to be misinterpreted in the media, which loves the idea of polyamory because it's how do they put it? Well, it's not so crazy because it's based on relationships. Mm-hmm. But swinging and polyamory are very different.
Okay, so let me see if I understand polyamory. I think I do because many years ago I took a course in internal family systems. It was a long course. It was about 13 months long. And, you know, we at one point we broke off into peer groups and I was doing some life coaching back then, and so that was the purpose of why I took this course. But anyway, one of the women that was in my peer group was getting married. But, you know, she was having difficulty with her parents because her parents were all about, like, you know, why are you going to get married if you're going to live a polyamorous lifestyle? And so at the time, I didn't know what it was. I confess, I did not. And but I do now, or my understanding now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're in a relationship. I don't know that it necessarily has to be a marital relationship, but a committed relationship with someone. But both of you have complete freedom to be out and about with someone else that you may want to develop a emotional and or physical relationship with, and your partner fully knows about that. So, you know, you're having dinner, and then dinner's over, and Joe says to Karen, yeah, I've got to go now because I have a date with Sally, and then I'll see you in the morning. So I know that's a little sarcastic, but, I mean, that is really essentially what it comes down to, is that not?
Not really.
Okay.
We may be splitting hairs here, and I always come across this particular situation where people start saying, well, it's this, it's that, but it could be this and could be that. Well, sure. Basically, the biggest difference is that a swinging relationship...
No, I'm not saying that's not swinging. I'm saying that's the polyamory.
I know, but let me explain first. A swinging relationship is basically strictly on sex.
Okay.
A polyamorous relationship is basically strictly, at least theoretically, on an emotional involvement with somebody else. So that's the difference.
Huh?
So in a polyamorous relationship, you may have a what often people call group marriage. So you, let's say if you're a male and you are married to a female and you find another female which you develop a strong emotional relationship with, and you convince the first female to accept the second female, and you guys now have a threesome marriage. That's a polyamorous relationship. The emotional component is very much part of it. And sometimes there isn't any sexual component at all. It's all just the emotional component.
But it can be.
It can be. Yeah. It's a mix of different things. Swingers, and I think that there was a term that was used in the 80s which I thought really exemplifies swingers, they play couples. The term didn't stick, but it really demonstrated what the relationship's all about. Both individuals that are in a committed emotional relationship, and they're bound to each other, agree that they have different fantasies which they'd like to explore, and they're going to explore them. And these are basically physical sexual relationships. Mm-hmm. But it is the primary component of the relationship is the emotional connection that they have for each other. So that part, supposedly, again, theoretically, does not get threatened. That they agree that this is what they want to do together. Now, swingers may swing or engage in sexual relationships with others consensually, which is the new term that seems to be in vogue these days, is in accordance to the agreement that they have. Polyamorous relationships are slightly different. Not sure if it explains it, but...
Yeah, it does. But, you know, an interesting thought came into my head when you were talking about a polyamorous lifestyle or relationship. And, you know, I bet you there's a lot of people out there that are in a relationship, and whether it be a marriage or just, a serious committed relationship, who then have a quote-unquote friend of the opposite sex that they are very friendly with and that their spouse knows about that. So really, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how is that actually very different?
Well, one of the things that I try to emphasize to everyone, it starts by saying, welcome to humanity.
Yeah.
We humans are very interesting. If we really want to understand our behavior, all we have to do is basically look at the primates that are close to us. Chimps, for instance, orangutans, which have social groups. Because we live in social groups, correct?
Right.
Now, can you have a platonic relationship, if you're a male, quote-unquote, have a platonic relationship with a female? I'm sure it's possible, and I'm sure that it exists all the time. But can that lead to something else? Oh, I have no doubts whatsoever.
Right.
That can lead to something else. It's not a given, but like I said, our behavior as humans is very diverse, and it's all over the map. We cannot say that someone is going to stick to this specifically, and this it may not turn into something else later on. I don't know, because when we look at individual cases, they usually don't represent the population, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things I always try to sort of caution people about. When we use individual cases to represent the population, that's one of the things scientists don't do, because we tend to look at the population overall. We look at trends and we look at statistics, if you like, that gives us an indication what may be going on.
Do you find that men are more open to a polyamorous lifestyle than women, or vice versa?
I'm not really sure. Traditionally, we think in our Western world, our concepts that men are actually after anything that moves, and women are not after anything at all, which is wrong. Like the idea that we are humans and we have sexual feelings, and all our sexual feelings and our sexuality differs from person to person to person to person. It's not the same for everyone. I would say that men probably, and again, remember, I'm just generalizing here, that men overall may be more likely to consider a sexual relationship, and women tend to be more likely to consider an emotional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, I would say that women may actually be more open to a polyamorous relationship, and men more open to strictly a sexual relationship.
Oh, men and women are just so complex, aren't they, though? We're going to take a short break, but before you go, I just want to, before we take the break, I'd just like you to think about something. You've done, obviously, some serious research on this topic. What have your findings actually revealed about the current state of sexual relationships today? Are we as progressive as we think we are? Or is there still a lot of stigma? So listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know. Stein Masonry. Family-owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back. Is consensual non-monogamy a lifestyle that you find perplexing? Are you confused about the terminology and the nuances of various styles of sexual expression that include other people and other couples? Well, you're going to want to stay with us here because tonight we're talking to Dr. Edward Fernandez, a.k.a. Dr. Ziggy. He's a researcher and expert on ethical non-monogamy as we tackle the history and evolution of swinging, open relationships, and polyamory. The differences and similarities of the various alternative sexual lifestyles are as intriguing as the reasons why people have sensual extramarital sex and relationships, according to research. So big welcome back to you, Dr. Ziggy.
Yes.
So, before the break, you've done a lot of research on this topic. What have your findings revealed about the current state of sexual relationships today? Are we as progressive as we think we are, or do you think there's still a lot of stigma, or is there still a lot of stigma?
I've always have a bit of a problem when people use the word progressive, because I always ask, what does that mean? Mm. If we're progressing, we're progressing from something towards something else, correct? Mm. So the idea is that we're perhaps more open to look at possibilities in, when it comes to relationships, sexual and otherwise. And I think sometimes we tend to, like anything else, go overboard on them. I often say to people, you got to be very careful for, you know, what you wish for, because you may get it. And people look at me and say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, sometimes you may wish for something, but do you know exactly what's going to happen if you reach that? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that that's basically what's going on overall in terms of relationships. I think that the idea that we are attracted sexually to more than one person, everybody can understand that. Yep. I think pretty much everybody has come across that. Yep. And that you may be even sexually attracted to somebody else, even if you are in an emotional relationship with a different person, that can happen as well. And it happens to men as and women. It's not sort of the domain of man, as it were.
Right.
So
people
tend to be much more open nowadays. The people tend to share. I mean, we have social media. What is social media than just a share hole? You know, we share everything. You know,
yeah,
this is my food. Please let me take a picture of my food. And people nowadays have.
I've never quite understood that fantasy to take pictures of my food and put it on Facebook. I feel like there's so many better things to do with my time and my food, like eat it. You know.
But people are doing that with sex. Well, I'm having sex right now. You want to see? Let me take a few pictures. I'll forget that. I'll take a video and I'm going to post it. And then later on, somebody will say, what the hell did you do that for?
Yeah.
Well, it was a good idea at the time. So that really translates what goes on in society nowadays. Now, openness is great. And I think people should communicate. People should talk about things that they want to do or they wish to do. But we all have, and again, I made a note to myself to say this to you. We all have our own fantasy world that most often we don't share with anybody. I would often ask my students, do you want to share some of your fantasies? And then they would look at me and say, you're crazy. And I understood exactly what they were saying, because people are afraid to share their fantasies.
Why?
Maybe nowadays people are more willing to do that.
Why do you think that people are afraid to share their fantasies?
Because nobody wants to think that somebody else is going to think that they're weird. We live in a world where terminology has gone crazy. We use terminology now to describe something that we know nothing about. People call other people pedos. And I often say, do you know what you're saying? He's a pedo. Why is he a pedo? Oh, he was looking at a picture of a younger girl. And I'm going, she looks like she's 35 years old. Still a pedo. Do you know what I mean in terms of how we use terminology? We insult each other with this terminology, although we have no idea what it means. So we are afraid that people are going to do that to us, or, oh my God, they're going to put that on Facebook. So people are afraid to share their fantasies because they don't want other people to think that they're weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple of friends have written books on fantasies, which their conclusion was actually very interesting, which is basically there's only a certain number of fantasies that we all have, except we don't know other people have the same fantasies as we do. Now, in the world of sex, talk about swinging or polyamory if you like, these are things that are shared. People are much more willing to share their fantasies with other people because, as someone once said, in swinging you're always going to find someone that has the same fantasy that you do. So you may search for years, but you probably will find somebody. And so that's, to me, that's the sort of the landscape of today's sexual relationships out there. Now, if you call that progressive, go for it.
Do you think sex is still very taboo?
Personally, and I'm going to give you my personal opinion, this is an opinion, I think it still is.
Why?
I think people are afraid of sharing things, of even in relationships, people are afraid to ask for something that they would like because they don't want their partner to pass judgment on them or think badly of them.
But don't you think that by being open and vulnerable, that would be the complete opposite of what would actually happen with someone that you love?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if you can't share that with the person that you're having a relationship with, you got a problem.
Exactly.
It would be like saying to someone, you know, I like pineapple on my pizza. Oh, my God, I'm going to kill you now, man. That's it. We're done. Pineapple on pizza? No bloody way. We're not going there. And being from Boston, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. But, you know, I guess I'm having a little bit of trouble with that one that, you know, that's gone on for a long time is that people are shy about it. But digging deeper, but really, why? What is the shame about?
We could spend a few weeks on that subject alone. Yeah. I'm going to try to sort of synthesize it for you. I think that we traditionally never present ourselves, or very seldom present ourselves, the way we are, the way we think, the way we feel to the outside world. We carry a little mask. Carl Jung used to call that the persona. We pick up the mask in the morning, put it on our faces. At night, we put the mask back on the night table. And because we don't want people to really know who we are, we're afraid to share. And we're afraid that people are going to think badly of us.
Okay, why, would people be afraid to share themselves? Why?
Because they're afraid that other people are going to think badly of them.
Badly of what? Of what?
Of their character, who they are, what type of person they are, that they may not necessarily want to be friends with them anymore, or a relationship with them. They may not want to have a relationship with them. And so people often don't share those thoughts that they should share. I find it hard to understand, pretty much the same as you do, because I have a tendency to share what I think. People say I have no filter, and I say I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a compliment.
I share because if you don't share, how are you going to know how the other person feels? You don't.
No.
People say, "Oh, I share my intimate thoughts." And I often say, that's bull. We don't. We sanitize those thoughts before we share them. It's a problem.
That's a big problem, and that's why I think relationships are so difficult. As people have you start off, you know, the endorphins are going crazy, and everybody's happy, and everything is wonderful, and then things start to quiet down, and you start to open up, and the other person's opening up, and you get to know one another, and then there are things that just don't gel. But I think that what happens with a lot of couples is there's not full disclosure about who they really are. I think they're trying to keep the relationship going on a certain level. I mean, of course, who doesn't want to be in a relationship where you're always happy? But, if you are going to express your needs, whether they be physical or emotional, you do risk, period, right? I mean, that's a risk, that the person might not want you if you become vulnerable and say, this is who I am.
And you actually touched on a point which I think is really, really important, sharing your needs. And people quite often think that certain things that they think about, that they like or they wish, are not needs, but they become needs. And the more you refrain from pursuing those needs, the more you're going to be needy.
Right. That's right.
You know, the more you're going to be thinking about them. I've interviewed probably thousands and thousands of people. I've been doing research on this, physically doing research on this since 1989. So it's been a while. And so I've had a lot of feedback from people that I talk to, because I'm genuinely interested in what they think, in how they feel about certain things. And I remember a woman saying saying to me, my God, I always had this desire, need, if you like, which became a need, that I would like to try several men at the same time. And I said, no, I would never think in a million years I would even say that to my husband, because, you know, it was going to be the end of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And they got involved in swinging, as it were, and she expressed that desire, and her husband said, hey, that is great, I'll arrange it. And she was totally
blown away. That's what I was thinking all along. Yeah, the dude probably said, I'll arrange it.
She said, he was so straight, so moral, and that came out of him. It was just amazing to me.
Yeah, but then after the fun and games are over, then what? That's my big question. So we're going to take another short break, but when we come back, I would be very curious about that. When the fun and games are over, what is left of the emotional connection? Listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back. Okay.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays, too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will. Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back. Let me reintroduce my guest, Dr. Edward Fernandez, a.k.a. Dr. Ziggy. He is a social psychologist and sexologist. That's a lot of S's. He's made a career out of researching and working with people who embrace these alternative lifestyles. So before the break, Dr. Ziggy, I talked about, you were telling me about a woman who had this fantasy that she wanted to be with several men at once, and she was afraid to mention it to her husband, but then when she did, he was like all about it, like, yeah, let me arrange it. But my question to you again before the break was, well, what happens when the fun and games are over, and then what happens to the mental health of the relationship? Does it affect it at all?
Well, let me tell you a quick story. One of the very first couples I interviewed from Buffalo, New York, of all places, the story goes like this. This guy had this fantasy. He always wanted to see his wife have sex with somebody else. He wanted to be a voyeur, as it were.
Back up again. So he wanted to watch his wife having sex with someone else. Is that what you said?
Exactly. So he was a voyeur. Yeah. He didn't really want to participate. He wanted to watch. He wanted to get the kick out of watching it. And he was after his wife for years, and she kept saying, no, 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 no. And he, just to shut him up, as she put it, she agreed to go with him to a swingers club in Toronto, which is only about 2.5 hours from Buffalo. They went, and they were told by the club owners, in those days they actually had club owners that talked to customers, that, look, you know, just come and watch, don't get involved with anything, and because, you know, you guys are too new, you don't know anything about this, and could be trouble. Well, as she put it, he accepted an invitation to an after-hours party. They went to this after-hours party, and she was just going to go and have a look. And before she knew, she was having sex with several guys. And he freaked out, completely freaked out, caused the scene, yelled and screamed, pulled her out of the room. They went out, and she said to him, this is it. You know, this was your fantasy, you did it, now I don't want to hear about it ever again. And now, as she tells it, the next morning, he comes to her and says, well, we were invited to a boat party, do you want to go?
Make up your mind, dude.
Yes, exactly. And that's the point. You remember I said in the beginning that sometimes be careful what you wish for, because you may get it.
Right.
Yeah, and some people are not ready mentally for this or emotionally for this. This is something that, you know, the couple, quote unquote, will have to talk about. And or even if it happens by accident, you've got to talk about it. I knew an old-time swinger that used to say that every time they got involved in some sexual activity in the weekend, him and his wife would always go for breakfast on Sunday to a restaurant. And he said, because the restaurant, we couldn't freak out. They would talk about it. What was a turn on and what was a turn off? And if something was a turn off to one of them, they would not do it again. So it's all about communication. And I completely agree with you that sometimes there may be a price to pay for it if you don't talk about it, and if it causes a problem within the relationship, and may even psychologically be damaging to someone. Absolutely.
Right. Well, nothing in life is free. It's just that simple. So, you know, no matter what it is, right? So,
absolutely.
Right? So, you know, that's you sort of get what you pay for. And, you know, I mean, people aren't dogs, right? I just think of dogs. A dog will hump anybody, right? And nobody's mad at anybody about it. But, you know, people are complex beings with all sorts of, subconscious messages going through their brains daily, hourly, you know, minute to minute. I mean, and sometimes we don't even know, right? We don't even know that, you know, we're reacting, it's like we're reacting a certain way, and it's like, oh, who is this person? But, you know, what I'm saying is, or I'm not saying it well, is that, you know, we are complex beings, and even if we think that we do want something, well, you know, once you get into it, it could be an entirely different story. What was the movie there? Now, I can't remember it, and I don't know if you'll remember it either, but it was with, Demi Moore, and I don't know, I'm going to say maybe Rob Lowe she was married to. Not really sure, but there was a really rich, rich guy, and he offered her like $1 million to have sex, right? Do you know which movie I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
What was the name of that movie?
I can't think of it now.
Yeah. But you know. Okay, so for listeners, if you're just tuning in and listening here, you're probably saying, what are they talking about? But anyway, so here was the thing, just to let the listeners know, Dr. Ziggy and I both don't remember the movie, but Demi Moore was married, and they were kind of broke, and a really rich guy wanted to have sex with her, and I believe they discussed it. Didn't they in the movie? Didn't they decide first?
Yeah, they did, and they went onto a yacht, and they were going to do it in the yacht.
Right.
Indecent
Proposal.
Indecent Proposal. Quinn just jumped in. Our producer just jumped in. Indecent Proposal. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then she did have sex, but then the husband went bonkers, right? Didn't he go bonkers,
mm-hmm.
Quinn?
Yeah.
You don't remember. You turned it off and went to sleep.
No, he did. The guy went. He was really upset with the whole thing, and he was upset with the fact that he had actually agreed to it.
Yeah. So you know that just really kind of, really puts in a nutshell how, you know, we are complex beings, and you know we might think we want something one minute, and then we don't want it the next minute. I mean, it could be it could be anything. You know, but when you start to get into something like this, now you're crossing. Well, I won't say you're crossing lines, because if people agree to it, but I mean it's an awfully slippery slope from what I can see. Certainly would be a way too frightening for me. Like no. That just wouldn't feel good. But you know, and it also can go way back to, you know, how you grew up. I mean, if you had, you know, if you did not have a healthy attachment to your parents or parent, or this, particularly the parent of the opposite sex, you know, you're going to like start to, you know, relive all that kind of trauma. And I would think it would just be a perfect breeding ground for, well, chaos emotionally.
Yeah.
That's my gut. That's my two cents. That's what I think. So, anyway, that's all.
I tend to compare things. I love to compare things, because I think that's how we learn, is by comparing. For instance, swinging, if call it if you like, swinging, was a behavior that's been in Europe forever. They didn't call it swinging. They just did it. And people tended to pretty much agree that the emotional relationship was separate from the sexual relationship. Also, something that I find very fascinating, I know a lot of swingers in their 70s now that are still doing it. You know, you didn't die when you reach 50. And they've been long time swingers. People have been around forever.
Well, they're living their best life, I guess, Dr. Ziggy. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. It is actually our last break. We're coming into our last segment. Listeners, stay with us here. You might just want to hear the finale. So we will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030. Or visit HandymanConnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for Doggy Daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and we are discussing non-monogamous relationships, polyamory, and swinging with Dr. Edward Fernandez, a.k.a. Dr. Ziggy. Dr. Ziggy, are there certain personalities or psychological traits that are more likely to be found in these non-monogamous relationships?
Not necessarily. That's actually one of the things that I looked at a while back. I wanted to know if there was a particular personality profile that was much more likely to be part of this swinging set, as it were. And really, not really. I mean, they tended perhaps to be people that are much more likely to enjoy excitement. People that tended to be far more outgoing, but I also found people that would be considered, I guess, shy, and like I said, they had certain needs or certain fantasies that they wanted to see realized. And so, really, short answer: not really.
No.
By the way, I am doing, if you don't mind me saying, I'm doing a big study right now with a colleague in South Africa. And I'm comparing swingers or swinging population in South Africa with a swinging population in North America in a whole bunch of different measures, and that will probably tell me a little bit more to see if there's any difference between South Africa and North America.
Oh, that would be very interesting information to talk about when you complete that project. I thought of something that's a little off way of thinking here, but when I asked you just a minute ago, are there certain personality types or psychological traits in non-monogamous people, and you said not really. Well, I wonder, it's just curiosity, but I just wonder whether some of these people are people pleasers, and perhaps they want to please their partner, and so they agree to it. See, again, I guess I'm looking at it from, like, there's layers. I keep looking at this and going, there's a lot of psychological layers here. Or maybe that's just where I would be coming from. Or that is where I'm coming from. That's how I'm looking at it. But you know, yeah, your partner wants to do this, the marriage is getting kind of boring, and, you know, it's old, and let's spice things up, and one is really into it, and the other really isn't, you know, and, but it's like, let's just, this is going to, you know, get things going again. But just, you know, just a thought, but it's, you know, a thought that I think could hold a little merit. What are your thoughts?
Well, if there was a trait that I found sort of common, was sensation seeking, which is part of a personality trait profile, if you like. The individuals that which much more likely to look for something that is exciting. Now, I think you touched on something which, again, we could spend weeks talking about this, and that is the fact that sexually, a lot of relationships go dull. You get into a routine, you do the same thing all the time, you may do the same thing on a certain day of the week or whatever, but there is very little excitement in the sexual relationship. And people, I guess, look for opportunities to get turned on again. And it's not that they're turned off by their partners as such, but I think that it's an opportunity for both of them, or both partners, to engage in something that spices up the marriage, if you like, or the relationship. And there's a lot of things to spice up the relationship. I think people tend to get into routines which the lifestyle pretty much dictates. So you're right there. I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the people pleasers. That depends. Some people will be pleasers. Some people will like to be pleased.
Right,
there's all
right.
kinds of dynamics.
So we have about 3 minutes left in this segment before we have to say goodnight. I'm just curious, do you think overall that polyamorous relationships are really able to be long-lasting?
Now, you're talking about the emotional relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There isn't enough data to tell us one way or the other. Anecdotally, in terms of the people that I've known in polyamorous relationships, some of them have worked okay, and some of them have been a disaster.
Yeah.
And as one person said to me, it's bad enough if there's two people. If you bring three or four people into the relationship, then you're looking for trouble.
That's what I think. And one might argue that just when there's just two people in a couple, right? A man and a woman. There's really two more on each side, and that is their parents, right? It's because we're carrying so much of what our parents have modeled for us that we now are bringing into the relationship. So there's never just two people in a relationship. There's always a minimum of 2, 4, 6. I've heard that before. I think that was Harville Hendricks that said that, who does a lot of study.
Especially if you have an European background.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Ziggy, it's really been a pleasure and really interesting. And listeners, if you missed part of this show, I'd love you to go over to my iTunes page and listen there. Please leave a review. It's always so appreciated. And subscribe to the show. So, Dr. Ziggy, again, thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's really been a pleasure.
You're quite welcome, and I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Have a good
take
one.
You too. All right, we
Bye-bye.
Need to wrap things up. We need to say goodnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Again, feel free to mosey on over to my iTunes page and listen there, or listen on Spotify. See you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.